We want them to come to an end. We want all the curses of the previous year to come to an end, so we can start off the new year on a new foot. We can start off fresh with only biracha. And we don't want to do this the week. We don't want to lay in the Toicha Mamish Erev Rosh Hashanah, because that doesn't go, that doesn't sit well. So we lay in it the week before Rosh Hashanah, the second to last week of the year. That's why we lay in the Toicha. Okay, now, let's discuss the connection, the significance, and what is the connection between the end of Parashas Kisetze and the beginning of Parashas Kisava. Parashas Kisetze ends with Amalek. And Parashas Kisava comes into Eretz Yisrael. There's a major difference. There's probably no greater contrast, extreme difference between Amalek and Eretz Yisrael. What do I mean? The whole Melchama of Amalek, when Amalek goes to war against Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk tells us, Zochor Eis Asher Osel L'cha Amalek, Baderech Asher, I'm sorry, it says Chem in Mitzrayim, Asher Korcha Baderech. The Torah makes it crystal clear exactly what their problem is. In contrast to us, their problem is Asher Korcha. Their attitude is, everything in this world is just a mikra. There is no Hashkocha Pratis. Don't think that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, there's the Hashkocha. It's just a mikra. The reason why a person got sick is not because Hashem is trying to speak to him, wake him up, talk to him. No, it's just a mikra. The reason why you got a good job, it's a mikra. You got a bad job, it's a mikra. The reason why it rained today and it didn't rain yesterday, everything in this world is a mikra. Mikra, that's why korcha. The korcha doesn't just simply mean they met you on the road. It means Asher Korcha Baderech. Baderech can also be interpreted to mean a person's way of life. Every person is here for a mission to travel the road of life. And they view your purpose here in this world is just by chance. There's nothing significant in anything that happens. We then immediately come to the next parish, Parashas Kisav. We come to Eretz Yisrael. There is no place in the world where a person can sense this potential to sense the Hashkocha Pratis like in Eretz Yisrael. As it says in Parashas Ekev, Eretz Yisrael is the land asher Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba Mereshis Hashana Ad Acharis Hashana. Eretz Yisrael is the place where the Shechina is present and there is the greatest sense of Hashkocha Pratis. Nida Keneged Nida is swift. And people even today will tell you this. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, there's a much greater perception of the Yad Hashem than you live in Chutz Li'aretz. You live in America, it's hard. You have to really work hard to be able to see the Yad Hashem, the Hashkocha Pratis, the Midah Keneged Midah. In Eretz Yisrael, it's different. First of all, the Ramban says it's accelerated. In Chutz Li'aretz, a person does a mitzvah, it can take years until you can see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying you back. Person does Naveri, it can take years until you can sense, you can see the Midah Keneged Midah. And by the time all that time passes, many people lost, they forgot what happened. So they don't realize, they don't see the Hashkocha Pratis. But in Eretz Yisrael, the Midah Keneged Midah is accelerating you, you can sense the punishment and reward is accelerating, you can therefore be able to, your memory, even if your memory is not so good, it didn't happen all that long ago, you can right away sense the Hashkocha Pratis of the Yad Hashem. So, the end of last week's parasha, in truth, is really the extreme opposite of this week's parasha. V'hoya kisavohu el ha'aretz. You're coming into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to conquer it. Kisavoy el ha'aretz. I'm sorry, kisavoy el ha'aretz. You will conquer the land. You will, and then you will divide the land, and you'll bring the payrois. This is the real deal. You're going to sense the hashkocha pratis in contrast to parashas kisavoy. Let's elaborate upon that. Today, we don't really have the Amalek that the Torah referred to of going on the road and having someone stab you in the back. I mean, we do, unfortunately, we know what goes on there at the show with Gaza and all these things, but it's not like it was in ancient times. It's a bit different. However, we do have something that's even worse. I don't know, even worse, but it's definitely equivalent, if not even more, a bigger Nisayan. And that is technology. Now, it's not what you think I'm going to say. I'm not talking about anything negative here. Years ago, I used to work in computers. I went to school for computers. One of the things that I learned computers that really blew my mind, it was a shock to me, is in a computer, there is no such thing as a random number. When you work in computers, you very often programming, you need a random number. I'm doing a program, and the program demands, you have a lottery, okay, you're in Las Vegas, and you're demanding some electronic slot machine, you need a random number. So every programming language has a random function. Okay, you have a programming language, it's designed by some very smart people, and the compilers, and hulu. Let's say X equals RND, open parenthesis, 1, 100, close parenthesis, semicolon, and when you execute that in the code, what does that mean? It means, computer, give me a random number between 1 and 100 and attach it to the variable called X. So, how in the world does a computer generate a random number? How? Now, if I, a human being, would generate a random number, how would I do that? Well, you all know late night television, right? You put the numbers, the balls into the cage, and you spin it, and you spin it more and more, and you put your hand in, and you get a random number. Is that random? I guess so, right? I guess that's pretty random. I'm assuming it's so. But how does a computer generate a random number? It is impossible. It is thoroughly impossible for a computer to generate a random number. There is no such thing. With all the technology we have today, face recognition and Wi-Fi and satellites and you name it, all the spy stuff is still in all artificial intelligence. Computers can drive themselves, cars can drive themselves. They can make decisions. They can do incredible things. It's incredible. The intelligence is there is real. This is not a joke. There is real artificial intelligence. Computers can learn. They can study. And they can understand. It's not a joke. This is the heavy duty stuff, and they can behave better than human beings in making decisions and learning. Just like we in life, we go through life and we pick up things, and that becomes part of our memory, and we use it as an experience in order to go forward and to make decisions. Computers can do that today. This is serious stuff. But there's one thing a computer can never ever do and will never be able to do. I'm not talking about neshama. I'm not talking about spirituality. I'm talking about the ability. The ability to choose a random number. You can get a PhD in how then does the computer generate a random number? X equals RND, open paren, close paren, 1, 100, semicolon. What does that mean? There's a formula. The formula is take a number. With the internet, it's a lot easier for the computer to generate. They'll go take the weather in Japan, take the weather in America, take the weather in Yugoslavia, multiply them together, and take the third digit, and that's your random number.
You're talking about a one digit.
Any random number. Before, the computers were connected to the internet, so the computer on its own had to generate a random number. How did it do that? It's always broken down into a mathematical formula.
Unless you give it the book of random numbers and it picks.
Even that's predictable. No matter how you define it, if you know the formula, it's not random. You'll be able to determine. I know I'm saying they have to think about this. Can't go dwell upon this. It is fascinating. I learned this in school. I was blown away. It is impossible, and therefore it's never fair. It's really, truly never fair that something is not random. There's always a mathematical formula which is partial to giving a certain type of answer. Today it's a little bit easier, I think, because today every computer is connected to the internet, so therefore you're able to take data from things that really are random. You're able to go take data, let's say you want a random list, so they tell me the weather in Japan right now, the computer looks it up on its own, the weather over here, multiply it together, and take some digits in the middle, that'll be the random number. So to a degree today, but that's not the computer doing it. The computer is taking elements that are random in the world. That's not a fair thing. That's not a real random number. But for the computer itself, to generate a random number is impossible. Impossible. So we live in a world today of pure technology. Everything is technology. Technology is screaming out to us, basically, the opposite of Amalek. Now hear what I'm saying. Hear me out. Amalek is Asher Korcha Baderech. Everything in this world is a chance. It's just a chance. It has no meaning. Don't get worked up. You lost your job. It's not because Hashem is trying to speak to you, give you a message. Just a chance. That doesn't mean the technology today does exactly the same thing in disguise. In disguise. It means it's screaming at us, everything has a reason not related to the Ribbono Shel. When you say, in the ancient time, when you say Mikra, what does it mean by Mikra in ancient times? It means no Ribbono Shel. There's no Hashkacha. It's because there's nature, there's this, there's that. Do not attribute this to a divine cause. It's purely can be explained. It can be explained. It's basically scientifically. It just all mikra really means, we misuse it. We think mikra means that it's just a chance. Mikra really means, in essence, there is no Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah.
Which means there is no accountability.
No accountability. There's no cause. There's no reason. We live in a world of technology. Every single thing is a computer. And the computer screams out one thing. Every computer cannot possibly attribute an event to something outside itself. It's that Shemayim. Everything, and there's no such mitzius as random in a computer. It can be broken down into a mathematical formula, exactly why this number is presented to you. It's a mathematical formula. If you know the formula, then it's not random. You can figure it out yourself. You don't need me to produce it for you. You can figure it out yourself. It's not random. And likewise, that's the essence. That's what really differentiates a computer from a human being. Besides spiritual, forget about the spiritual, because decisions, they can make this. They can learn today. It's computer learning for real. And there are all these things that they can do. But generate a random number, then it's impossible. Mamash, mamash, impossible. All these will be impossible. That's the technology. Therefore, and it screams, when every time we look around in this world, it's basically telling us there's a milchama going on. There's a milchama going on in this world of Amalek, saying to us, Asher Korcha Baderech. In ancient times, they would say it's a chance. It's just random. Today, it's unbelievable. It's Pumfakert. It's the same message. When the ancient times, Asher Korcha Baderech, it doesn't mean it's random. It means there's no Ribbono Shel Olam, Chas V'Shalom. Today, technology says everything is scientific. Everything has an exact cause. The reason why you're not feeling well today is because A, B, and C. It's not because the Ribbono Shel Olam got involved over here. Everything can be understood scientifically based upon a mathematical formula. And then we come to Parshas Kisavoy. Parshas Kisavoy, you come to Eretz Yisrael and you conquer the land. And you divide the land and you bring come to the Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael's Eine Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereshis Hashana Ad Achris Shana. It's the land of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Eretz Yisrael, it's every single thing. In the whole world, it's like that. But in Eretz Yisrael is the place where the perception is that much greater. It's perceived. It is sensed. Everything has a cause. Everything, every event is directly rooted in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking to us because of our behavior, because of Yerushalayim, because of Averos and Mitzvos. So the contrast between last week's parasha and this week's parasha, as technology advances, is getting greater and greater and greater. If you want to go look at the ancient times, and the Hanami, today we don't really, today Baruch Hashem, to a degree, relative to what was years ago, there is more peace in the world. There's more peace in the world, so we don't have to deal with Muhammad al-Malik, with freedom of religion. We can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not in our face. But yet, Pumfakert, the essence of what al-Malik is all about is there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. And today, who is the al-Malik to a certain degree? I don't mean this in a big way, obviously. I love computers. I live computers. My whole life is computers. Everyone's like that. But the essence of a computer is there is no chance. Everything is defined. And the extreme example of this idea is There's no such thing as a computer producing a random number. It's impossible. It's literally impossible for a computer on its own to produce a random number. This is the mahus, the essence of what a molek is. Everything can be attributed to anything but the Ribbono Shel Olam. And everything we come in contact screams out this message. And now we come Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam presents us with Parshas Kisavai. You're coming to the land that I promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What is Eretz Yisrael all about? Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mereishis Hashanah Ad Achrishanah. Eretz Yisrael is the land of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. What happens now? Mereishis Hashanah Ad Achris Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every event is Pumfaker, is all directly connected to Hashem in response to your mitzvahs, your averos, what Hashem needs to say to you, where you need to be in your spiritual world. Okay, something to think about. Let's go further. Let's go to another idea. I want to move ahead to cover some ground. We come, we have the parasha of Bikurim. Parasha of Bikurim, there's an amazing, amazing, blow you away, Targum Yonas and Benuziel. One word, just one word, and the one word is even, it's in Hebrew. It's not even in Aramaic. We start over the parasha, changes every, this one word changes worlds. One word Targum Yonas and Benuziel adds into his translation. You come to Eretz Yisrael, you conquer the land, you develop the land, you divide the land, you cultivate the land, and now it's time to bring Bikurim, the first fruits. So what do? You go into the field, you wait for a fig to ripen, you tie a blade of grass, it develops, you take the figs, whatever, all the first fruits, you put it in the basket, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, and it says you present it to, who do you present it to? You present it to the Kohen. Uvasa, you will come, you shall come, El Tuhu HaKohen. Asher Yiye Bayomim Hohen. Rashi, by the way, says, what does it mean, Asher Yiye Bayomim Hohen? Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Ein Lecha Elo Kohen Shebiyomecha. K'may Shuhu. No. You got who you got. Whoever's on duty that day. Okay, whatever it is. This Rashi has much, much more meaning when we assume, I don't know if we can assume this, but for our purpose, that we will assume this, is when you read the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, and he says, to whom do you present your Bikurim to? Uvasa el HaKohen. I'm assuming that he picks up on the Hei HaYediyah, maybe not, maybe yeah, maybe not, and he says, you present it to the Kohen Gadol. You don't give your Bikurim to your average Kohen, who they gave Kohen to Thursday morning. The Bikurim is presented, look at the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, to the Kohen Gadol. Now, is the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel saying this translation lahalacha? I hardly doubt it. It's not possible the Kohen Gadol is going to go be Mekabel Bikurim from the whole Klal Yisrael. He has other things to do with this time, right? It's just not reasonable. But he does say this, so obviously he's coming to teach us something. He's coming to teach us something, and he translates HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol. What?
What does it say, Asher Yiyeh
Bayomim? Rashi says, Ein Lecha Kohen El Masha B'Yomecha. Now, obviously, that makes a lot more sense. It makes a lot more flavor when you're dealing with the Kohen Gadol. Shofet. So the Shofet is any one of a kind. This is unique. A Kohen is not unique. You have thousands of Kohanim. So what do you mean, Ein Lecha Masha B'Yomecha? In every generation, there are some Kohanim that are very chashev, some that are less chashev, so it has a lot less flavor. But when you're saying HaKoy means the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol today is no comparison to the Kohen Gadol that was 100 years ago. What are we talking about? How can you compare? Then it has a lot more flavor. If you're going mamish, the Kohen Gadol, it has a lot more flavor. But Rashi doesn't never say Kohen Gadol. Right, but Rashi, definitely, that idea definitely fits very well if you do learn HaKoy means the Kohen Gadol. Now, what else? What other questions does this answer? Look how it starts. You come to the Kohen, you present it. Rashi says you will present your Vyomarito again. When you do the Paskimul, Uvos Lakona Shariah Bayomim Ohem, Vyomarito Elov. You shall say to him, and the Pasuk gives you the words. He Gadati Hayoim Lashem Elokech, Yvosil Arth, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavosim, Lost Aslanu. Rashi is something that doesn't say in the Pasuk. Rashi says, V'omar toilov, she'encho kofui toiva. I'm not, what's a good translation for kofui toiva?
Ungrateful.
I'm grateful. Where does it say that in the Pasuk? Where does it say in the Pasuk, V'omar toilov? And also, of course, you're not ungrateful. The fact that you bring the Bikurim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you've made this long trip to bring the Bikurim, and you present it here in front of the Mizbeach, of course you're not ungrateful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does Rashi here mean? So I saw in this beautiful sefer called the Taher Libenu, it picks up on this, all these things put together, and he says, you have to say in Rashi, that when it says, V'amarta Elov, that you're not kofui toiva, that you're not talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He asked the average person that you're not kofui toiva, ask them, to whom are you not kofui toiva? They will answer instantly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, and we thank you. The way we thank you is we bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, and we put before the Mizbeach, and we recite Arami Oyver Avi, we recite all the Psukim. So it's all between you and Hashem. That's the Pashup Shat. This has nothing to do with Kehanim. It happens to be the Kehanim are the Shluchei D'Rachmana. They are the representatives of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So they're the ones that are going to get it because they are in a Parnassah. They don't have any land. They don't have any Parnassah. They get it. That's nothing to do with you, Kohen. You come to the Kohen, hey, Kohen, oh, good. This is your job. I don't owe you a thank you because this is what you're supposed to be doing anyway. I'm supporting you. You're my employee. And now I'm going to say something nice. I'm speaking to Hashem, not speaking to you. She'enichal kofi toiva, Hashem, I'm not ungrateful. In the Sefer Tahar Libenu, he says, no. When you start off your marital love, you say, Kohen, before we get to the Ribbono Shel Olam, let him wait. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam wait a couple of minutes. I'm not ready for him yet. You have to wait. Even though I'm the patient, he's the doctor, tell the doctor to wait a few minutes until I'm ready for him. I have more important business. And my important business is you. You, the Kohen Gadol, I want to say to you, thank you. Arsene, you thank you. Why do I have fruit? It says in Chazal, in Sechta Yoma, that when the Kohen Gadol, on Yom HaKippur, when he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the way out, in between the two curtains, he paused. And what did he pause for? To pray for Klal Yisrael. He prayed that there should be rain. Okay, he prayed that there should be rain and that the produce should be good, should be successful. The crop, the agriculture should be successful. Who brought me this success that the fruits, I have fruit here today to present to the Ribbono Shel Olam? You, the Kohen Gadol. Not because you gave me money, not because you were mispalel for me. You on the way out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim were mispalel for Klal Yisrael that we should be successful this year. Ashana Degush. Look at the Nusach. It's such a beautiful Nusach. It's just awesome. If you read the Nusach after Mari Kohen. On Yom HaKippurim, almost no one says, it's a shame. They say, they just mumble it up. And after you sing, everyone sings today, the Mari Kohen going back to the choir. What was whose choir was that? The famous Yigal, the London School of Music. Yigal
Salak.
Okay, became now a legend. There's probably not a shul here in America that doesn't sing Mari Kohen in the Nigun. And that Nigun, it became Mamish. Unbelievable. Right? So after you finish singing Mari Kohen, look at the next piyut. Everybody said, look at the next piyut. And the next piyut is the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, what he recited when he came out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. It is awesome. It's simple. You don't even need an art scroll. It is simple. It is awesome. Unbelievable what it says there. And it's a shame. It's a shame today that we don't really even pay attention. We don't even know that it exists. And it's long. And what? They do say it. Not that I've seen.
Of course.
What?
Should we say it?
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, I stand corrected. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Chotasi. Chotasi. You're right. You're right. Okay, you're right. You're right. All the praise. Right. Look at the Nusach. And there in the Nusach, it describes his Bakasha that the year should be a successful year and the parish should be successful. And it goes into detail. He was mispalel for us. Thus, so Nochama, Uvasa el ha-koyhein, which koyhein? Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, not the average koyhein, Mr. Cohen, who lives next door. I understand. I'm sorry. I should have said that. Okay. I'm only getting so much trouble here. Okay. Not your average kohen. Uvas el hakohen, the kohen gadol. And you say to him, you bring him there, and you say to him, before we get to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I first want to talk to you. And that's why it says Asher Yebayon Mohem, because you know every when it comes to the regular kohen, no one's comparing this kohen that kohen. That's not what you do when you deal with a regular coin. When it comes to coin gadol, then you're going to compare who's the coin gadol relative to the previous generation. And then the amar to elav Rashi she'ein cho kofu toiv, not to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We'll get to him. I have a whole speech for Hashem. I want to talk to you, the coin gadol. I want to personally thank you for your efforts, for being mispalel, for my success this year. Unbelievable. This is an incredible new way to learn Pshat and Pesukim. And what is the message? This is the message we learn. Tichle Shana V'Kililoy Seha. A person that doesn't have this appreciation, when you come into the new year, when you come to Mavakesh and the Ribbono Shel Olam to give me everything, what about all of the people that have given you this year? The people that have provided for you. Parents, and Rabbanim and things like that, and just stam your family. Before you can come and be Toivea from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're married to Elof. You say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, wait for me a few minutes. I have more important things to do. I have to show the people who have provided for me, who have been your partners in providing for me, I have to show them also. She'ein chal kofui toif. Before you come, just when it comes to mechila, just like when it comes to mechila savonis, Hashem says, don't ask me for mechila until you ask mechila for your fellow man. That's Yom Kippur. Everyone knows that. It's a waste of time to go to Yom Kippur unless you ask mechila from your chaverim. But what about Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is not a day asking mechila. You don't say chatos. You don't say slichos on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, It's bakashas. You give shevach v'ayda. Hashem, we thank you for what you've given us, and we hope you'll continue to give us. Just like when it comes to Yom Kippur, before you come to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you say chatos, you have to say chatos to your fellow man. Before you come to Rosh Hashanah and give shevach to Hashem and ask for more, you have to come to your fellow man, to the Kohen Gadol that was mispalel for you and helped you out and gave you the brachas and express your appreciation. This is the Hakdama to the Yom Noyorim. This is the beginning of Parashas Kisavo, only because of one word of the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. It's not just Tam Koyein, it's HaKoyein, HaKoyein Gadol. Everything now changes, the whole dynamics of what it says here takes on new meaning. Okay, let's now go to the next. Arami Oyveravi. Who's the Arami? So also in this sefer, the Harli Beinu, unbelievable chiddush from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Awesome chiddush. Also changes worlds, totally changes worlds. Most of what I'm saying is really straight from there, from the Harli Beinu. This part, first of all, he quotes Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's a simple question: why doesn't it say Lavan Oyveravi? Come on, what's the Torah have to say Arami and get us confused? We say this in the Haggadah. Arami Oyveravi, so therefore Bikesh Lavan La'akares Hakol. So there in the Haggadah we explain that who is the Arami? It's Lavan. So why couldn't the Torah say it? Why does the Torah have to make it so difficult for us? So Yaakov Kamenetsky says it wasn't only Lavan. Lavan on his own, let's take a step back. There are so many Perushim, what it means that Lavan tried to kill, to destroy Yaakov. If Yaakov is going with one Perush, and he's saying that when did he try to kill? And I have to hear me out the whole thing because it's a little bit confusing, but you have to hear me the entire thing. When did Yaakov Lavan try to destroy? When did Lavan?
Symphony and X-Men.
Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov Avinu? when he gave Yaakov Leah instead of Rachel. Now, let's explain a lot of things. First of all, how in the world was he able to pull this off? Make a big fancy wedding in the plaza or in the Hilton or wherever you want to go make a big fancy wedding. Okay, it's some fancy hotel in Manhattan. And he invites 1,000 people. The whole city was invited to the wedding, and everyone knows on the wedding invitation it says, Rachel, Bitcha Haketana, okay, Bas, Harosha, Lavan, okay, and the honored, the cursed grandparents, the Suel on the bottom. The cursed grandfather. And on the other side it says, and the Yaakov Avinu, Ben HaTzadik, Yitzchak, and the blessed great grandfather of Avinu. They have two different sections. You can imagine what the invitation looked like. What?
He made a mistake in invitation. Okay. He wrote Od Yeshava Bar Yehuda.
Okay, so you can imagine what it said on the invitation. How in the world, and he invited there 1,000 people, everyone knows who Rachel is and who Leah is. There was no mistake. How was Lavan able to pull this off? Even with the big, thick Hasidish veil, come on, you never peeked? The people around the Harayim, they were able to go with the biggest mechitz, they got their way in, they wanted to see what's going on. How was he able to pull this off? You know what the answer is? Rabbi Kamenetsky? He couldn't. It would be, even for Lavan, even for the master of disguise, the master himself could not pull this off. Impossible. Impossible. He needed the help. Whose help? The whole city. The whole city were showing him just like him. They helped him. Even Lavan could not pull this off. But
they were in on the exchange.
But with the help of, because they were just as wicked as he. He was a product of his environment. Or he guided them. Therefore, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that's why he does not say Lavan. Because it wasn't Lavan couldn't do this. Lavan needed all of the people who... All of the people from Aram Naharayim, Arami, he was just an Arami, one of many people like him of this community called Aram Naharayim. He was just one of them, and together they got. He was there. He was the one who, you know, he gets the credit. He's the one that's going to get it knocked over his head in the Haggadah. We're going to go focus, single him out, but he couldn't do it on his own. So in the Torah, what? Targum is a translation. Targum is coming to identify, give you identification, to give you bear what the pasuk means. That's a Yaakov Kamenetsky's kasha. So the pasuk couldn't tell us Lavan. We need the Haggadah. We need the Targum to tell us that it's Lavan. If the Targum tells us that it's Lavan, and that Baal Haggadah tells us that it's Lavan, so why couldn't the Torah say that it's Lavan? The answer is because it wasn't just Lavan. Lavan was the one who spearheaded. He's the one that was the leader. It was his idea. He's going to get punished. Okay. But he couldn't do this on his own. And the Torah wants to show that. The Torah goes, Lo'imgo Shaldin. He was just one of many who were partners in this horrible crime. Yeah?
The problem is that he couldn't have done it without Rachel's help.
Okay, that's a separate issue. No. Rachel did not know the simonim. That was a separate issue. That was that she gave over this. He did not know that Rachel and Yaakov had simonim. That's a later event which came place. But the plan itself was not taking into consideration the problem that there would be a code between the two.
The Torah gives you a hint to that.
The whole place was with him. He had the support of the community. He could not get away with this. He had the support of the community to pull off this crime. And that's why he's Arami. He's just one Arami of many Aramis. Because the whole community were partners with him in this crime. And what did he do? He was Oyved Avi. He tried to kill my father, Yaakov. Now, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, what he's doing over here, he's telling us the fact. Now, let me take a step back. Make believe there was a Medrash. Okay, make believe now. Going through the world of fantasy. What does it mean he's Oyvei Avi? He tried to destroy my father. Make believe Lavan had a revolver and he put the revolver to the head of Yaakov Avinu and pressed the trigger. And guess what? the machine, the weapon, it stalled, whatever it's called.
It misfired, jammed.
Oh, so Ataka, Arami Oviravi, he pulled the trigger. He pulled the trigger, right? He was all alone. It was a dark alley. No one was watching. It was just him, Yaakov and Lavan. He pulled the trigger. Mazel. It jammed. It didn't work. He should have died. And didn't have all these Holocaust stories like that. It jammed. He got lucky. But he wanted to. How do I know that he wanted to? He pulled the trigger. He pulled the trigger. That's how I know he wanted to. In Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen. He tried to kill him. Rabbi Yaakov comments, if that was the Pshat in the Pasuk, it wouldn't say Arami. It would say Lavan. If that's how he tried to kill him, it would not say Arami, because there's only two people in the black alley, in the dark alley. There is Lavan and there's Yaakov. There's Lavan, there's Yaakov, so we don't, you're not going to be one of many. There's only two people. The fact that it says Arami and does not say Lavan means that he tried to kill him in a situation with where he needed help. Where do we know that he needed help? By the wedding. By the wedding when he gave him Leah instead of Rachel. But now the question is, what? Just because he gave him Leah instead of Rachel, that means he wanted to kill him? He didn't kill him. He didn't kill him, he gave him a wife. Maybe it's not the girl that he wanted, but he gave him a wife. What does it mean he was oyved? So here you learn an incredible yesod, an awesome, awesome yesod of how you can kill a person. You can kill a person point blank in a dark alley. But there's even a better way to kill a person. You know what that is? You go to a wedding of a 22-year-old boy and a 22-year-old girl, and then after they come out of the yichud room, you say, Chassan, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you on this wonderful day. The Chassan probably thinks that this fellow has a big tzari, wants a bracha. Chassan b'yomchu pasay, has a koyach. He sits down privately with him after they come out of the yichud and says, Chassan, I want to let you know, and I want to impress upon you something you should never forget the rest of your life. The girl that you married is a horrible shidduch. You could have done so much better. You sold yourself short. What a waste. This girl, really, go on and on, and you drill it into the chassan with your full force. What a terrible mistake you made. And then you take the kol and do the same thing to them. And don't ever forget this for the rest of your life. You've killed two people in a death that is infinitely worse than taking a gun, taking a weapon, and taking them out of their misery. To go and at the ace simcha, at a time of a person's greatest moment of joy, to go and to destroy their joy by doing something to them, to demoralize them, to harm them, this is the ultimate oivet. You have demoralized them, you've caused them psychological damage, you've caused them damage that is just unbearable. This is the ultimate damage you can do to a person. And this is exactly what Lavan did to Yaakov. Yaakov wanted Rachel. In his eyes, this is Rachel, this is the one that I'm meant to marry. And he went and he gave him Leah. And Leah, Vayar Hashem ki snu Leah. Keneged Rachel, this is not what he wanted. He demoralized him. He played with his mind. He needed the whole community to do this. To kill him by himself, he can do it by himself. But to pull off the ultimate, that he needed the whole community together. So what do you take out of it? What is the message of this Devar is that the sensitivity a person has to have, and unfortunately, I don't realize how often you see this. It's very, very frightening. There are people, in whatever it is, a person puts out a sefer. He publishes a sefer. This happens very often. You publish a sefer, you spend years and years, you collect money to publish a sefer, a brand new sefer, and you work so hard on it, and you go and you show it to someone. You show it to someone. And you look at your sefer. You demoralize a person. I work so hard on this. And you just, when they show you, look what I got. You destroy them. Someone tells you a vart. They think it's the greatest vart they ever heard, ever said. And you go, you say it to them. And you
I heard it 10 years ago.
You just demoralize them. in life, there are so many situations where you come in contact with people that are on a high, and they've come to you to bring you their joy. And the demand, the sensitivity you have to have, the obligation you have to have to be receptive. You may think it's totally nothing. So what? But for him, it's the world. For him, it's the world. And to be a partner in his simcha, the sensitivity is just awesome. The obligation is awesome. Because this is what it means, Arami Oyved Avi. This is exactly what it means. He didn't shoot him in a back alley. Because if you shoot him in a back alley, it should say, Lovan, be Lovan Oyved Avi. It says Arami. Arami can only mean he needed the assistance. Where did he need the assistance? Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah was the time of Yaakov's greatest joy to bring into this world the Shiftei Ka. And what happened now? He was demoralized. This is not the plan. And everything had to go, and everything had to go take on a whole new meaning. Yeah.
They say from the Chiddush Harim, it says ki ba'apam
hargulim. Oh, ba'apam. Exactly. Ba'apam. You go a drei mit, what do I say in Yiddish?
Yeah, a
drei mit nos. A drei mit nos is you can kill a person. And that is mamish, what it means here, arami oy ve'rovi. It doesn't mean that they have all these perushim, the shlichus. He made a shlich. He wanted to kill the shliach. So you don't know Eliezer. You don't know the shliach. All these lamdash perushim. I am panim l'toira. And Yaakov Kamenetsky, he gives a whole new perush to what it means shan the pasik, and it takes on a whole new meaning of what it means oved. Yeah.
It's like going to all the singles on Kirtan, wishing mazel tov. You know, and if you feel pain, mentioned by Dia.
Right.
And
it depends by who. It depends by who. It depends by who.
Right.
Those are situations where the person actually is inside. But what about a person with a simcha? Like you go, a person gets married, you say, oh, now you're getting married at this age. You could have had this girl 30 years ago. What kind of comment is that? Here he is, be'eis simcha.
You settled.
What?
You settled.
Or something like that. Here you are, be'eis simcha, you're happy, and instead of the person in being mahana, his simcha, you stab him in the back. You stab him. And you don't think he remembers this. When a person is on a high, he will remember the insult forever. When a person just on walking around the street, you give him some muscle, you say something nasty to him, okay, dime a dozen. you and everyone else have nasty things to say to me. Big deal.
Could be that's why we say this before Rosh Hashanah. You know?
The sensitivity to the Yom Neron.
They say by the end when they went out of time, that was a Chobed Esol, Yechav Eskel Vashani. What would have been so bad?
Yeah, because now at the time of Simcha, let the person have his day in the sun. When he's enjoying the limelight, don't take away. Okay, next Vart. Now, let me look a little more of a Lamishavart. Okay, Lamishavart. In the first and second year of the Shemitah cycle, how many maestros do we bring? Let me remind you what they taught me in first grade, or whatever they taught me, whatever. How many maestros do you bring in the year, first and second year of the Shemitah cycle? Two maestros. Maestro Rishon and Maestro Sheni. What do you bring in the third and sixth year of the maestro, of the cycle? Maestro Rishon and Maestro Oni. So how many maestros do you bring? Two. I bring two maestros in year 1 and 2, and year 4 and 5, and I bring two in year 3 and year 6. Two, and therefore, through the 6 years of the cycle, it's always two. Which two? Maestro Rishon, Maestro Sheni, or it'll be Maestro Rishon, Maestro Oni. Right? Isn't that what they taught us in elementary school? What?
The Cheder.
You bring two maestros. The Torah here in this week's parasha says, I'm sorry to break it to you, but what they taught you in Cheder is wrong. They've teaching you a falsehood. Sorry, but that's what do we mean? In the third year and in the sixth year, you don't bring two maestros. You bring one maestro. It says Shnas Hamaser Kisechale, goes through the entire vidui. You go through all the things that you're supposed to bring, and it says when you finish giving all of your maaser in the third year. And how does the Torah, do you have to make a vidui, you have to say a vidui twice every Shemitah cycle? When in year 3 and in year 6. And what do you say? And when do you make this in year 3 and year 6? So it tells about year 3. Kisechalel aser eskol maasar tivu aschah bashana hashlishis, the third year. The Torah could have stopped right here. But it says, oh, by the way, let me make it clear to you, what's the third year? It's the Shnas HaMaaser. The year when you only give one Maaser. Rashi in Pasuk Yudei says, the Shnas HaMaaser, Bashana HaShlishis, then we run that over here, the Rashi, the very long Rashi. Okay, how come I can find the Maaser? Shana Shnas HaMaaser, here it is. Shana She'ein Noyeg Bo Elo Maaser Echad Mishnei Maasrois Sheno Hagu B'Shtei Shanim Shanim Shanim. The year when you only get one of the two from the previous years. But so what? Just because you're only giving one of the two of the previous years, it's not called Shnas HaMaaser. It's Shnas HaMaasrois because you have a replacement. And instead of giving Maaser Sheni, you give Maaser Oni. So why then does the pasuk call it Shnas HaMaaser? What's going on over here? So there's a very powerful limud mussar. And the limud mussar is, here it is, and by the way, what are you giving the Shnas HaMaaser? Let me just read the whole pasuk for you, okay? So the Amarit is, Benshona HaShlish, Shnas HaMaaser, only one of the two maestros. V'nosato la-levi, la-ger, la-yosom, ve-lo almono. You'll give your maaser rishon. You're going to give to the maaser rishon is given to the Levi. And then it says, that's Maaser Rishon. And then it says, but this year, instead of Maaser Rishon, you shall give La Ger, La Yosoim, Vilo Almono, the Ochlu, Vishorecha, Vishveu, give Maaser Oni. Instead of Maaser Sheni. So you give La Levi is what you gave, that's the only Maaser. But this year, instead of Maaser Sheni, give Maaser Oni. And Maaser Oni is La Ger, La Yosom, Vilo Almono, the Ochlu, Vishorecha, Vishveu. Maaser Oni is more common than Maaser Sheni. Because Maaser Sheni does not say you have to be satisfied. Just give. You take 10%, 10%, you go up to Yerushalayim, and if 10% doesn't fill up your stomach, so it doesn't matter. If you're not satisfied, you're still hungry, so go to the pizza shop, support the economy, and buy a piece of pizza to satisfy yourself.
Well, that's what we are really doing by Sasheni.
But it doesn't say that by Sasheni. It says, Sasheni, take 10% of your produce and go to Yerushalayim and eat it. What happens if you go to Yerushalayim and you're not satisfied? Are you yoytze the mitzvah? Yoytze. You want to be satisfied? So go buy a piece of pizza. That's not my problem. You need the kind of the mitzvah. But what happens when it comes to Maaser Oni? It says it's not enough to go give Maaser Oni. Not enough just to give to the later, to the ger, la yosan, the almana. It says when you give them Maaser Oni, make sure you achlu visharecha visaveyu. Now, how are you going to translate that in terms of 10%? That's another issue. But it says here, mitzvah derais, when you give Maaser Oni, make sure there's, in the year 1 and 2, you did not need to be satisfied. When you were eating the Maaser Oni, you do not need to be satisfied. But when you give the Maaser Oni in year 3, you better make sure that the Oni is satisfied when you give the Maaser Oni. And yet, we're only calling this the Shnas HaMaaser. There's only one Maaser. We do not have a double Maaser. What's the message here? The message is, the person in life, you have a lot of obligations. All Torah. Busy, busy, busy. Everyone is pressing upon you to do this mitzvah. It's all mitzvahs. To do this mitzvah, to learn, to do tzedakah, do chesed, to daven. And then once in a while, I don't even know what happens anymore, once in a while, a person has a free moment. The mitzvah, I used to go every, the person will say, I used to go every week to go visit the person in the hospital. Unbelievable mitzvah. I would spend a half a day, right? You spend a half a day, you get in the car, you get to find park and go to do a chesed. And now, the person got better. Baruch Hashem, he recovered after spending a whole year devoting a whole day, a whole half a day, a whole year. The person now has recovered, he's better, he's back on his feet, he's back to work. I don't have to do this mitzvah anymore. So what do you do now? Ah, you can relax. That time that we go to the hospital, I'm going to stay home and relax. Watch some television. Relax! Enjoy myself! Go and have a... No, the Torah says, when the mitzvah is no longer there, adarabah, go take that time and look for a new mitzvah, and the new mitzvah should be even more intense than what you were lacking. Now that the person, Baruch Hashem, is healed, and you have this free time, don't take this free time and sit back and enjoy yourself and relax and sleep late. Adarabba, now find for yourself voluntarily another mitzvah, the achlu v'sharecha v'saveyu, and do the new mitzvah in that time even greater. It's year three. Year three, I'm exempt. I don't have to do the second mitzvah. The second mitzvah has come to an end. I only had an obligation to give, to do one mitzvah. To do the whole year, I had an obligation to give two mitzvahs. To do two mitzvahs. Year one and year two. Now it's year three. The Torah does not say that year three you have an obligation to give two mitzvahs. The Torah says that in year three you only have one obligation. Maaser Rishon, that's it. But the Torah says, you think you're off the hook? You think because now that you're freed from the opportunity, you don't have to do two, you only have to do one, so now you can sit back and relax? You know something? Find for yourself another mitzvah. And the other mitzvah that you're finding yourself is not Maaser, it's not equivalent. It's not like you had before. And do it. Give now, lager, la yosa, v'almano, v'ochlu, v'shrecha, v'saveyu. It's now the shnas ha-maser. You're now in a year when you have less to do than an ordinary year. But yet, I'm demanding of you, take that free time and find something what to do with more intensity. And that's a Musar Haskell for life. Just because tekufos pass and obligations, mitzvahs, obligations that are important obligations have come to pass. And now you have free time. Just because you have free time or you have extra funds doesn't mean that it goes for yourself. You have a duty to follow in the theme of Ma'aseh to find for yourself something new to channel the time and the effort and the money that was going elsewhere. It should now go for a positive purpose. This is the mitzvah of the lesson of Ma'aseh Ani. Okay. Now, we're running out of time, so let's wind down. Time is it? Okay, let's wind down with maybe one little, another drush. Simcha. In this week's parasha, I challenge you. How many times is there a reference to actually a wild bar now? Okay, it's like wild. So when you get into trouble for saying it, don't blame me. How many times in this week's parasha, is there a reference to simcha? Simcha. Huh? What? What do you get five? Very good. What do you get five? Good, that's one. That's the end. Let's go in order. Good, good. Order. First reference to Simcha. V'hoya ki savoy el haaretz. What do Chazal say about the word V'hoya? Every time it says the word V'hoya, it's Lashon Simcha. Every time it says the word Vayihi, Lashon Tsar. Vayihi b'nei HaChashverosh. What's today? Nach. Yeah, what did it say? I don't remember. V'hoya, achris hayam. Very good. So here it says, V'hoya ki savoy. And in Achinami, there's no greater simcha than coming into Eretz Yisrael. This is the tafkid. Coming here is V'hoya simcha. Unbelievable. You come to Eretz Yisrael. Asherah, al-arish, Hashem, no saying l'cha nachla l'rishta. Unbelievable. The brachas have been fulfilled. What does it say? What does it say later? It says, you go through the entire parasha of Bikurim. And it says, "Bissomachta bechol hatoyf, asher nosan lecha Hashem ulokech ulevesecha, atove halivi v'agersher bikir becha." And it says, "You shall rejoice. You shall rejoice." Now, I want to suggest, okay, I want to limit it to five more than six, even though indeed the hoya. So I really, the hoya doesn't explicitly say simcha, but. You'll see why I wanted it. I want to connect these to really just one simcha. It's one simcha. V'hoya ki savoy el haaretz. This is the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim begins with simcha and it ends with simcha. Right? So it's really one package. So even though v'hoya, maybe you would want to say it's one reference in and of itself, but being that it's the first word of the parasha and it's the last word of what you're supposed to do with the Bikurim, this somachta. Rejoice b'chol ha'toyv asher nosan l'cha Hashem u'lokecha b'l'atu v'esecha v'ata aleiv yager v'esher b'l'recha. That's Bikurim. Bikurim means rejoice in Eretz Yisrael. Appreciate the bracha of Eretz Yisrael of Simcha. Okay, next reference. Now we come to Vidui Maestros. In year three, at the end of year three, really going to year four, you have to go and confess and make sure that you take accounting. Take inventory. Make sure you gave the last 3 years my truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani. They've done all of your needs, and you have to come. Then Bikurim, all of the halachas have been fulfilled. You come to the Beis Hamidrash and you say, "Dear Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, I did everything you told me to do." And what are the words of the pasuk? The words of the pasuk are the vidui. It says here, "Lager kechol mitzvascha asher tzivisani." I've done everything you told me to do these last 3 years. Rashi, kechol mitzvascha asher tzivisani, pasuk yud gimel. Rashi says, "Somachti v'simachti." I rejoiced in doing your mitzvahs, and I caused others to rejoice in doing them. Not only was I happy, I made sure that my neighbors, when they did their mitzvahs, they also had simcha. Samachti v'simachti. When I did the mitzvahs. Then we make demands. Hashkifa v'mankashkom nashamayim v'erech asamcheshol v'eisu adama. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. We just say hashkifa. We ask Hashem, please bless us. I'm sorry, that's not what I'm referring to. Fine. Next mention of simcha. That's already two. That's already two mentions of simcha. Now we go to the third. The third mention of simcha is when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you put up the stones. Okay, you put up the stones. Wait. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'm saying it correctly. Okay, but before we start saying over here, I'm not skipping anything over here. I'm getting confused already. Okay.
There's a reference to Pasuk Zion.
What's Pasuk Zion? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where's that Pasuk? Which paragraph exactly I'm looking for?
Perachov Zion,
Pasuk. Right, that's the next one. But I'm missing one. Okay, let's just go down number three for a moment. Number three for this moment is when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're traveling. Read, how does the Pasuk begin? Pasuk Dalet. This is the Masois. You're traveling into Eretz Yisrael, and you come out to the Masois. Takimu es avonim o'el ha'shanochi mitzave eschem hayom bahar evol v'satos on basid. You shall go and uvonis shom mizbeach, and then you jump down to Pasuk Zayin v'zavach to ashtov yachal to shom v'somachta. Oh, another reference to Simcha. Now, where is the next reference for Simcha? In the Teichecha. Tachas asher loy avadata es Hashem elokecha b'simcha uvitov. You know why there's the Teichecha? Because you did not serve Hashem b'simcha uvitov leivav. Now, I left out one. I'm getting confused. Give me one moment. I even wrote it down over here. Give me one second over here. V'choya. Asis chosh asher v'sem v'simach v'cholatoiv. V'somachta. So I guess what I have to say over here is I made a mistake, and that is I do want to divide the two. Okay, I do want to divide the two. The first two I do want to divide. I'm confusing what I was prepared. So the word v'chaya is a simcha in and of itself. The first word of the parasha, v'chaya, is simcha in and of itself. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, the next simcha is v'somachta v'chol hatoiv. Asher nosan l'cho Hashem l'kecha ul'veisecha atova halivia v'agersha b'sharecha. The third mention of simcha is asisi g'chol asher tzivisani somachti v'simachti. No, there's got to be another one over here. I left out. It's not what I prepared. There's another one over here somewhere. No.
Of simcha. Does
the
word sauce mean simcha?
No, that's the Teichecha. That's Kasher, was Kasher sauce. That we are commanded to simcha. Give me 1 second. There's no more simcha here. I thought there's another one. Okay, it's okay. We'll work it out anyway. Well, you'll work it out. As I wanted to suggest, it's not working out the way I thought, but these five elements of simcha correspond to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And explains to us the Teichecha, and the advantage of doing so, it explains to us the Teichecha. The first simcha is very obvious, of Eretz Yisrael refers to Chumash Bereishis. Chumash Bereishis is the Briyas Ha'olam. The Briyas Ha'olam, the climax, the most sacred part of the Bri is what? Eretz Yisrael. The world, the creation, according to one opinion, the Gemara, starred with Eretz Yisrael. You're coming to the place of creation. You're coming to Eretz, you're coming to the Evan Shasia, the place from where the world was created. Where is Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is the place of the Evan Shasia. Misham Hushas Haaretz, the place, the central place of the foundation stone of the world. Briyas Ha'olam. Which Chumash is Briyas Ha'olam? Bereishis. V'hoya. It says here, this Simcha. Then we come now to the next Simcha. The next Simcha, we learn over here, V'samachta b'chol ha'toiv asher nosan l'cho Hashem elokecha ulevesecha. This is let's play around with this. Not what I originally was planning to say, but let's say now this refers to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because we're all Gerim. He gave him Yisim Yeretz Mitzrayim. All of the good work, Kodesh Baruch Hu, He took us out of Mitzrayim. He gave us everything. Hashem, Asher, B'chol HaToiv. Ki ato v'chartanu mikol ho'amim. Ahav toiv sanu. Ein toiv ela toira. Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. Chumash Shemois is Matan Torah. Parashas Yisrael. It's the bracha of being Asher Nosach Hashem Elokecha Uluvei Secha L'Shalshelos Hadaris. And we mention over here the Levi, the Kohanim, the Mishpach of the Kohanim and the Gerim, because we all Gerim. We're out of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Chumash Shemois. The third mention.
If you're including Matan Torah in that,
yeah.
Ein
toiv el toiv. I said, ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. So okay. This refers to Chumash Shemais. The next mention is of samachti v'simachti. Shamati b'kol Hashem elokai. Asisi k'chol asher levarti. Which pasuk was it? B'kol mitzvascha asher tzivisani. So that refers to Chumash Vayikra. Why would that refer to Chumash Vayikra? That we have to figure out. It's not so hard, because here we're referring over here to V'yamarta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. You have a Beis HaMikdash. V'yamarta, you will declare before who lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Where do we learn about the Hashem Elokecha? Where did the Shechina come down to the world permanently? In Chumash Vayikra. Chumash Vayikra is the Chumash of the Korbanos. It is the Chumash which develops, which dwells upon what it means, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Everything that you're supposed to do. V'chol mitzvascha asher tzivisani. Where? Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Every single carbon that you bring is presented in Chumash Vayikra. The carbon is brought Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. K'chol mitzvascha asher tzivisani. You shall rejoice in these mitzvahs. So I think it's pretty, it's a samachti v'simachti. So that appears to be okay, at least from my perspective. It fits into Chumash Vayikra. The next one is very easy. The next one is the Masois. Couldn't be easier. The Hoya be'orvechem es hayarden. Chumash Bamidbar is all about the Masois, the travels of Klal Yisrael in the desert for 40 years. And here we're coming to the end. We're coming to reach our final destination. The Hoya be'orvechem es hayarden. The Masois. And the last one is the Toichicha. Tachas Hashem lo yavaritas Hashem lokecha b'simcha v'tuv lev meiroiv kol. I'm just one finished. Meiroiv kol. So what's the message? The message is, it's very easy to have simcha in Chumash Bereishis. It's very easy to have simcha in Chumash Shemais. It's very easy to have simcha in Chumash Vayikra and Chumash Bamidbar. You know what the challenge is? The challenge is to have simcha in Chumash Devar. Why? Because Chumash Devarim is all Musar. It's all powerful, powerful Musar. Moshe Rabbeinu Chazal say he didn't say Chumash Bamid, the Devarim, Chumash Devarim, until the end of his life. Why not? Why did he wait until the end of his life to say Chumash Devarim? Because you don't give Musar to a person until right before you die, so they shouldn't hate you. Right, very Shirashi. Chumash Devarim is hard, powerful, harsh words of Musa. Meiroiv kol. And here is where we falter. We have no trouble with the four simchas of the four chamishei chumshei Torah and what they represent in our lives. But when someone gives us Musa, someone shows us our shortcomings, and to be able to stand up and to be oyver Hashem b'simcha, to improve ourselves, to embrace Musar in life, b'simcha. And Musar comes from all forms. It comes from your wife, and it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it comes from your Chaverim, And in order to embrace the Musar of Hashem, b'simcha, that's a challenge. That is a challenge. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, watch out, there's a toichacha. The toichacha is not going to get you for your lack of Bereishis, Shemois, Vayikra, and Vamidbar. It's going to get you tachas, asher lo yavadata, es Hashem Elokecha, b'simcha, uvitov levav, meroiv kol. In a matziv, you have meroiv kol, most of everything. Let me explain. Why? What does it mean, roiv kol? When you give musa, what do you say to a person? You say to a person, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. But you're not 100% yet. And therefore, we got to give you a shtickle musa. You're a roiv of the kol. If you were perfect, you wouldn't be here in this world. Right? Like if someone says, if I wake up in the morning, I'm not in pain, I know for sure I'm in the Olam HaEmes. If you are coil, if you have everything, then this thing, you're not in this world. Every person at most is a roiv of the coil. And to get you from the roiv to the coil, you need a Moshe Rabbeinu to give you some musar. It's not easy to embrace that musar besimcha. Tachas asher lo yavadito as Hashem lokecha besimcha v'tuv leivav. When you got the musar, when you were meiroiv kol in a matziv, when Moshe says you're good, but you can be better to get to kol from roiv, you have to have simcha as well in the musar Hashem. Don't reject the musar of Hashem, the toichacha. Don't reject musar. Accept it. Five elements of simcha. Four easy. The fifth is not so easy. That's the nesayin of life. You should be zoiche to have only simcha. And a ksiv v'chassima toiva. Good given shiur and good shabbos.
And also the